And welcome to the episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am your host and newly minted 32-year-old. I am old, yes. Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
How can you mess up this badly? I have not seen anyone that mess up this badly since that BBC woman made fried rice. You do not compare the two Doodle series to each other. You do not compare Shin Megami Tensei to Persona. You don't. You do not do that. Okay, I'm good. That's my uncle impression for today. Thank you.
Like, uncle! Whoosh! One more thing. Tell your stylers here, too.
I will defend them a little bit and say they are sibling series. So I understand why you might want to draw some lines. That being said, you don't want to draw too many lines. One, they're very different tonally.
Yeah, we will be talking about this in our main event tonight, because obviously that's one of the big things that a certain superior side, like, you know, that's what they call themselves, have started. But, of course, we'll all get started off with, what have you been playing? I haven't been playing much. I haven't. I've been busy doing other things, and so I've honestly only been playing Fire Emblem Heroes. So I've been doing the Voting Gauntlet, which I started off horribly in, and then I picked the Sothis Byleth combination,
yep,
and I'm now in the finals. So, yay! I wanted to Gensia to win. I'm sorry, you know, he's a dragon, or, you know, worthy one. So why not? But guess not. So, but yes, that was interesting. And then I will hopefully be having a little more time to play, like, get back into Smash Brothers again and lose horribly online. But I will endure. I shall endure. And then there's that new banner coming out, which has even more gratuitous art than usual. And you can't not tell me
one character.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that one literally covers all four. Just saying. But yeah, I honestly haven't had a lot of time. I've been doing a lot of other things. So, and honestly, I'm just waiting for Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl to come out, because that will consume my time for a while once I get it.
I mean, that thing won't come out for, like, quite a while, so you still have some time to wait.
15 days.
And just a compliment as well, yeah, like with you on Fire Emblem Heroes, yeah, like, I was at least hoping to get Rhea into the finals, but nope, get immediately knocked out by Sothis, Halloween Sothis, so, sad, so, yeah. And plus, of course, with the new Ninja banner coming out, or today at the time of this podcast, like, all right, but I mean, the fact that we have two Corins, one dual and one male Corin, is like, geez, how many ults we gotta get Corin now? So there's that. But heck, on the bright side, we are gonna get a free Shamir on the Tempest Trials, so why not? That's nice.
At least that one makes sense as a ninja. I always have problems with these, like, because they sometimes just bring in the most random characters to be ninjas, and this one wasn't too bad. Like, Shinen is a ninja. That totally makes sense, because ninjas, you've bows. Shamir's the same way. She was an assassin anyway, so why not just make her a ninja assassin? So, the Korins, I wasn't really happy with. I mean,
Korin can be a ninja.
I know, but...
Yeah. And plus, it was reference to their Cypher art card as well, the dual Korin. Yeah.
Elise was the same way. Will, was Korin's voice actor changed?
No, Cam Clark is the same OG one. It's the same OG.
I felt like that was a really strong performance from him, actually, with this alt. I almost thought it was a different actor. It was a pretty good job by him.
I mean, it's Cam Clark, the one who voices Liquid Snake. He's pretty iconic. Plus, he also did one of the Ninja Turtles. I think it was
Will,
Shoe.
You are the number one fan of voice actors in the world.
I'm sorry. I know these things. I mean, heck, he's also friends with Rob Paulson, so of course.
I'm glad you know these things. It's
very insightful. Man.
But you're like, oh, he's super famous, and I feel like you and three other people are like, yeah, what are you talking about?
He wasn't a part of the childhood Cam Clark. I'm surprised you didn't know him.
I was ignorant.
So, Will, what have you been playing?
So, aside from Fire Emblem Heroes, like as we follow up from last week, I have actually played Mario Party All Stars. Let me correct that. And I gotta say, it is a very solid game. Obviously, this thing is meant to be played with people around you, locally or online. And gotta say, it's pretty solid. Obviously, we've gone to, like, internet connection, that definitely varies return to, like, who you're playing with, or if you have, like, a Wi-Fi or wire connection. But from what I played so far this past weekend, it is very, very solid. The only rarely have I seen, like, heavy delay lag inputs with certain opponents. But overall, very fun. Many times I feel got screwed over because of either Shiluk or RNG sometimes. But again, that's Mario Party. What do you expect? Yeah, played all five boards. Definitely great feels with the new items. If anything else, like the economy of Mario Party now is much more generous. It is you can easily get up to 50 coins or even 100 coins easy. So like perhaps the item market, the new items in these new boards now, it's very a lot of different plays can happen. So overall, if you love Mario Party, it pays so much tribute, pays so much fan service to the original games. It's just like, yeah, I never thought I'd see Coney Island being so HD. It's just like, it's so visually appealing. It's just amazing. I mean, from the cake, from Peach's wedding cake to the Boo's graveyard to Yoshi's Island, it's just like, wow. It's just absolutely wow. So visually stunning. So if you get a chance to perhaps like wait this thing on a discount on a discount, but I highly suggest getting a Mario Party All Stars if you have a chance, especially if you want to get a great party game. So highly recommended. And other things that I've been playing as well is just kind of the same with Lost Judgment, but definitely nothing else new about it. So I'm just waiting for Shin Megami Tensei 5, which reviews came out. I'm excited. So yeah, we'll talk about that later on. So yeah, just waiting for that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get Superstars. I haven't bought it yet, but I will be. I will own it by the time we record the next podcast. Hopefully, Will and I will get to play around together and claim bragging rights. I will say, the more I consider the boards in Superstars, the more I'm like slightly disappointed.
Sure.
Peach's Birthday Cake is not my favorite stage. I would have really liked if they put Mario's. What is it? Rainbow Walkway.
In
Mario, in the first one, it's like a cool single path, and you wind to the center where Bowser and Toad alternate, giving you bad stars and good stars. And that one would have been really cool. There's a few like ways to try to stall your momentum, and I think that's a better board than Peach's Birthday Cake. But all in all, I've heard nothing but positive things. I heard the online works great, so I'm excited to get that as well. Go ahead, Will.
Like, if only thing, I really do hope that Nintendo actually, like, probably adds one more board just to make it a little bit more fuller. Because, granted, five boards isn't really as a lot. I would criticize that. It's just, like, five boards, like, I wish they had one more board just to make it rounded up, like, with Mario Party 4. So, like, yeah, I just...
100%.
If they have one more board, then probably it would be more worth it.
Yeah, I believe that the data miners have discovered slots for two more boards. So they may add some as DLC. Maybe it's in there by accident, but I'm kind of expecting that we'll see at least two DLC boards. Obviously, I'm hoping for Westerland. That would round out the package. It's a little bit light compared to what you would expect. And I do wish that they went back to not giving third and fourth and second coins for the minigames. Like, when you get 10 coins... you don't get any coins if you get second, third, or fourth. That's the old-fashioned way.
Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about what I've been playing.
Fine, go ahead, please talk about what you've been playing.
Okay, I have been playing BioShock, actually, the BioShock Collection.
Really?
Like Todd, I haven't been playing a ton this week. I've been traveling down the beach, but... I bought that collection a while back for like $10. It was on sale at GameStop, and the BioShock series is legendary, and it's one that I've always wanted to play. And now that I've started playing it, I very much like it. The only problem is I think it would be better if I had it on the OLED. The screen is a little; it's hard to get the brightness right. There's a lot of times I just cannot see anything, and there's a lot of times where you're like trying, like I'm playing in handheld, squinting, trying to find where I'm being attacked from, and I just can't because things are not super clear. The BioShock 1, I think, came out of the 360, so the graphics aren't like the Switch can easily run it. It's not like it has frame drops or any issues like that. But it would probably be better to play in docked than handheld unless you had the OLED. But I was kind of excited to mention that I've been playing that just because there are a ton of good collections on the Switch. A lot of like legacy games. There's the BioShock, obviously, but you got Crash, you've got Spyro. There's a ton of good collections that you can get and play on the Switch that I think a lot of gamers like myself, especially if you've been a Nintendo lifer, you may have missed out on some classics that are available. So I'm enjoying that, and I think it's, if you can get it on sale like I did, it's definitely worth checking out. Three games for like $10, so pretty good deal.
I've been tempted to get some of the collections just because I remember when, this again shows my age, when the PS2 got the Metal Gear collection, like the first three Metal Gear games, I'm like, oh, you know, I've never played Metal Gear, I should totally get it. And I did, it was awesome. So I definitely try and get the Kingdom Hearts collection when that comes out, even though it's a cloud version. So we'll see how that goes. But if you're enjoying it, then that's what matters. So, oh, Tyler, would you kindly do something for me?
Yes.
For the record, I did not know the twist of BioShock for so long, but then everyone kept talking about it, and they kept saying it in a way that didn't make sense to me. So I'm just like, wait a minute, what's the twist? And so I had to look up like three different sites for someone to finally explain in detail what the twist was, and I go, oh!
Don't say it.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
Even though it's like
a twist, but I don't know it yet.
It's like BioShock is like 20 some years old, so you know, if you don't know the twist, then that's your own dang fault.
No, it is my own dang fault, but that's what I'm trying to atone by playing it.
And yes, I actually do know the ending of BioShock Infinite, so yeah, there is a major twist, yes.
So, but no, I'm glad you're enjoying it. So, there honestly has been an incredible amount of news this week, including a lot that happened today at the time of recording. And we're going to get into literally all of it. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we have the latest Switch fiscal data from the last quarter, Q2 2021. And it is, July, August, and September. So it's for those 3 months. And not surprisingly, the Switch has sold incredibly well. It is as of the end of September, at 92.87 million units sold. That's a lot. And then you know that it's already sold at least 130,000 in October, for obvious reasons. Not the least of which is the Olay coming out. So that, let's just round it up and say 93 million.
I know.
Yeah, with the holiday season coming up, we will be beyond the 100 million mark, which is hard to believe. That's crazy good.
And remember, the Wii U sold, what, 13?
Yeah, 13.
So, yeah. Now, there was some other things to note here. The biggest thing being the million sellers. We did get a new edition, which was Skyward Sword HD. It has sold, as of, again, the end of September, 3.6 million units, which is not bad at all, actually, considering, again, it's just an HD remake, which didn't really look the best, just saying.
It's way better than I thought it would perform, I gotta be honest. I know it's Zelda, but I didn't feel like there was a ton of positive press around this game, and I get that there are 90 million Switches out there. But this is a pretty good number for a game that's really, like you said, the HD upgrade isn't that great. The game is not super old, out 10 years ago originally, so they've got to be pleased with that. And hopefully that means that they will assemble another Zelda collection for us.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And then Mario Golf Super Rush, Tyler's second favorite game ever, is nearing 2 million units sold, so that's pretty good.
I'm glad that game actually did well for all things considering. I mean, obviously the content was definitely lacking, but with the recent updates, with the new stages and all that, so it's starting to get some legs. So I'm glad that people are giving this game at least a chance. So yeah, I'm kind of glad for that.
So I'm very curious about how this is going to go in the holiday season, because as Tyler kind of alluded to, there are going to be problems going forward, which is Nintendo, like all others in the electronics industry right now, are suffering from chip shortages. And due to that, the Nintendo has revised their amounts that they believe they're going to be able to produce within the fiscal year that we are currently a part of. And so their original goal for this fiscal year was 30 million, and now they've lowered it to 24.
It's again kind of goes to show like how much this is really affecting everyone. I mean, heck, you thought PS5 was getting hard to get. Heck, even Nintendo's starting to feel it now. So, and I'm just generally speaking because like I just recently stopped by my own local pharmacy. Even their shelves have been having some like shortages as well. So it's not just like electronics, but everywhere is, but be it grocery shopping, pharmacies, or whatever, they also have their own share of shortages as well.
I was about to say, wait a minute, your pharmacy sells Nintendo Switches? That's awesome.
I mean Costco, but
Costco. I was
yeah,
gonna say,
Costco.
what can I use, doctor, to cure my to my illness? Go to your local Walgreens and get yourself a Nintendo Switch.
That actually does sound pretty nice,
That sounds
actually.
nice. Ice
But
cream and Nintendo Switch cure for all your wounds.
yep, that's true. That's a good combo. That's a good combo. So yeah, just again, this whole situation, the chip shortage, everything, whether it be a game or just outside of it, it's just yeah, everyone's feeling the pinch.
Yeah, and the head of Nintendo, Shintaro Furukawa, briefly talked about it in the financial briefing and noted that, you know, they're trying to figure out how to make this work. And I know Sony's the same way. Like Sony's like actually going to try and make their own, apparently. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo maybe tries to do it there. But they said that we are assessing their impact on our production, and obviously in the grand scale, you know, 6 million is a lot, but we all know that whatever they are able to make, they're gonna freaking sell. So like that's really not the issue, but the fact that things have gotten this bad to where they need to have like actual statements saying, hey, I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna have to lower our potential for the year, that's significant. So
Again, like I think we can safely say again, Nintendo definitely finds a way to actually, aside from their hardware, they always try to like there's other ways to make money. I mean, obviously they're trying to pin everything with the Nintendo script online subscription, but we already saw what that happened, so hopefully this helps them focus on somewhere else differently. So I don't know, like that's the way I see things. So it's not just hardware, not just hardware.
So, moving on, we have. Oh yeah, this was another thing from the financial briefing. Mario Kart 8 continues to sell to the extent that they are now the best-selling Mario Kart game of all time. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has passed Mario Kart Wii with over 38 million in sales, and as a result of that, they are now the best-selling. I believe the best-selling racing game of all time, I think.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
I mean, I saw another article about the Mario Kart Wii that said it was the second best-selling racing game of all time. Like, I don't know what beat it, but so regardless, they are at the very least the highest-selling Mario Kart game of all time. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wonder if now that it's shattered that benchmark, if Mario Party or Mario Kart 9 is finally going to be revealed. I wouldn't be shocked if they had finished Mario Kart 9 like 4 years ago and were just sitting on it. Like, let's just wait until 8 Deluxe finally slows down and then we'll release 9.
Yeah, I really don't know what's going on with 9. Is it seriously that they're just waiting for the right time because they know this is still selling, or is it they aren't making it at all? I don't really know. It honestly is a little concerning because you'd think that they would at the very least tease that, hey, this is coming out, because if 8 Deluxe did this well and 9 is as good as that or better, then it should sell even more, especially if they improve certain things to the online and all that. And yet we have no indication that, you know, this is going to happen. I don't know. I don't know. So
It's like we again, like obviously this game has done so well, like for how since the Switch, it released along the Switch, right? Or is it later on? I don't remember. But yeah, now this game has done so well to the point, it's like, yeah, and Nintendo, isn't this not a clear red sign saying please make the next game? I don't know, or you're just gonna wait for more until like it gets everyone else of the entire world. It's like, come on, I think it's about time, don't you think? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this also just feeds into the whole, hey, we need to keep making these ports because look at, because now you can say, well, you know, Skyward Sword HD sold 3 million and Mario Kart Deluxe sold 38 million and all these other ports have done well, so why not let's do another? What else is left? So there's a few things left, sadly. But you know, I don't know, and I don't want to say they're getting a little complacent with 8 Deluxe because it is doing so well, but or maybe they're just trying to take their time and think of a way to improve upon what 8 Deluxe did, because it's a really good game. We're not denying that. Obviously it's good if so many people are buying it, but it's not the worst idea in the world to, you know, at least tell us you're working on it. You know, build up the hype. I don't know. We'll just have to see, I guess. Alright, next up we have a smaller update on Triangle Strategy. Still horrible name. That's never gonna change. Ever. So, Square Enix is going to be doing a live stream in Japan, and they're going to be detailing some new gameplay features, apparently. So we didn't get too much information off of that, but it is good that they are. Actually, it's already happened. Like, yeah, see, it happened today, Will. I told you it happened today. It said tomorrow, as in today, Thursday at 7 a.m. Eastern time. So I guess we just haven't gotten a translation of it or anything. Oh well.
Also, like, aside from like the gameplay details, they also showed off like a very nice collector's edition for the game as well, including like, a small little show, a silver tri-scale, which is like kind of a nice little deal, as well as like some opaque clear playing cards of the characters. A poker card, so there's also nice little things. I'm no doubt about it with the usual collectors and art book, like with the Octopath Traveler's collector's edition. So here's hoping that maybe it comes stateside here. So please, because I really do like Square Enix's collector's edition. So here's hoping.
This is absolutely one of our most anticipated games of 2022, and the more we hear about it, you know, the better. Definitely gonna see where this goes, but. I'm excited. I'm excited. And let's see. Okay, let's talk Smash Bros. Because this kind of blew up. We teased it last week that Masahiro Sakurai did a big interview for Famitsu about Smash Bros. And he talked about what the potential future of it is. And he revealed some very curious things. First and foremost, he did not deny that this could be the end of Smash Brothers, nor did he deny that Smash Brothers could come back. He says it's very much up in the air right now in terms of what he wants to do and Nintendo wants to do. He did know that he's not thinking of a sequel, but he can't say with certainty that this will be the end of Smash. He goes, I currently don't see a path where Smash could be produced without myself. Honestly, we did actually try leaving it to someone else, but it didn't go well.
Yeah, I think we're kind of in that same situation with going to Metroid Prime 4. Like, you gave it to somebody else, but yeah, it just didn't pan out, so we're giving it back to the original developer. So, yeah, this was a very interesting interview. Like, yes, granted, no one can say for sure if Smash Bros. Will be continuing on after Ultimate, because again, Ultimate is like it is the pinnacle. You can't get any more better than that. But also not to think about a future of another Smash Brothers. I mean, sure, again, as he said, it's not gonna be as great or grandiose as Ultimate, but I don't know, like, the fact that we won't have any other Smash game in the future would be, yeah, just kind of sad in a sense. So, like, will we have another Smash Brothers games in the future? I mean, I would like to. I mean, even at the cost of, like, not as the grandiose of Ultimate, so who knows? It just feels, it's just always that wondering, like, will Smash continue with Sakurai, without Sakurai? Like, how is it going to be? I mean, that's kind of like one Nintendo's main staples, but you never know how long into the future when we get it, if we got to get it. So it's always such an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, he's already confirmed that no matter what happens, nothing will be as big as Ultimate. Like, he's already confirmed that. He confirmed that early on. Like, he can't top what Ultimate did, which is fine because there's clearly some fat that can be trimmed. But he also said, like, he had to talk with Nintendo about it, about whether they want to make a sequel. Gee, is Nintendo going to want to make a sequel to the best-selling fighting game of all time? Gee, I wonder.
Like, geez, do you want to make money? No?
No.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't print money. It does not print money.
Sakurai is a known liar as well. Like,
True.
he lies all the time. When he said Ultimate wasn't going to have as many newcomers as the other games, and it had the most newcomers by far. Like, this guy lies through his teeth about not making the next game bigger and better. I mean, it's hard to imagine a game bigger than Smash Ultimate. I personally wouldn't mind them parsing back a little bit on some roster spots, in order to give characters who had the same move sets, basically since Melee, new moves. But I would not put it as Sakurai to make the next game somehow even larger than Ultimate was. It sounds impossible, but this guy, he constantly blows away our expectations and surpasses the bar he sets for himself.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious path to trim is you get rid of all the Echoes, you get rid of characters of like Roy, and I'll still say Falco. We talked about this last week, but like Falco, because
Oh, you can't cut Falco.
I
You
can
can't cut
cut Falco.
Falco.
I can cut him. I have the power. Never ask me for anything again. But there are characters you can trim, and then if you really want to help lighten the workload, you do one DLC pack. One. Like they. Sakurai did too. He said it was a lot of work, and he clearly doesn't want to do it again. But if you want to have DLC, you have one DLC pack, one. And obviously, some of the DLC characters we got this round will not come back for various reasons, not the least of which is, rights and such. So, like, I could see them keeping Cloud but losing Sephiroth just for simplicity's sake. Minecraft Steve gone, obviously.
Yes, I would not miss
Yeah.
Minecraft.
Kazuya, you could get rid of Kazuya. That wouldn't be easy.
Oh yeah, he'd be
Yeah,
cut.
Kazuya, I
Oh,
can
Piranha
miss.
Plant. Like,
Yeah,
get rid
definitely
of that
cut. Sure,
one.
sure, sure, sure.
There's some ones that you can honestly say, like, there's nothing wrong with a more refined Smash Brothers package.
A lot of the DLC can be cut. I mean, I
Yeah.
think a lot of the first party characters make sense to keep, but it almost would be, I mean, listen, ideally every single character would come back, but from a hype perspective, there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, we're bringing in an all new wave of characters this time. And now you've got a whole new box of third-party characters to expect, and that would be great. One of my few complaints about the DLC, I think, is that we have like a lot, like we have Final Fantasy represented twice. Like, there's a lot of Square Enix representation. I love Sora;
True.
he's I want him in the game, but with Sephiroth and Sora, that's two of the same company RPGs. Like, I wouldn't mind them expanding and kind of getting even more companies involved. That's what Ultimate was all about, and I think that quest will never end as long as games are being made.
So we'll just have to see how it goes, but the potential is, and let's be honest, we know they're gonna make it. Come on, we're gonna make it. It's they can't help themselves.
Oh
They just
yeah.
can't. Especially after everything that Ultimate did in terms of hype, the trailers. I still cry thinking about the Sora trailer. It's beautiful, And now it's the question is, how do you top that? You top it refinement? Like, this is another thing I didn't get to talk about, but Sakurai mentioned that they were actually gonna try and add more actual gameplay mechanics to the fighting, so that you could actually do more aerial combat. And like, that was one of the reasons he wanted to bring Sora in, is because Sora is very much an aerial fighter because of some of the moves he can do in the game. And he wanted to add more aerial combat, but he felt that that would be something the more hardcore crowd would pick up while the casual players wouldn't. So they actually took it out. So maybe if they have the time, they'll do it next time. You never know. So we shall see. All right, next up is a story that Tyler's gonna like. There is a rumor going around that in addition to the Mario movie starring Chris Pratt, there's gonna be a Donkey Kong movie with Seth Rogen returning to voice the King of Kongs. This is only a rumor, it has not been confirmed, but let's be honest, I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, the fact that we haven't even got the Mario movie coming out yet is like, okay, I do have. Are you having that much promise of this movie to succeed? I mean, granted, it's Mario; it's gonna succeed, likely. I like with Sonic and Pikachu, so. But really, making a Donkey Kong movie already, possibly, is. I mean, again, we had previous Donkey Kong medias from before, for better or for worse, but.
Slammer!
But I mean, again, sure, why not? We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm trying to cast this in my brain, and I don't have anything for you yet. I'm not sure who the perfect Diddy Kong would be in light of James Franco's problems. But without King K. Rool, like who is King K. Rool? Who would be the perfect King K. Rool? I felt like the King K. Rool in the animated show did a pretty nice job, honestly. So. I'm not excited for this. I don't think that we really need a Donkey Kong movie. I don't think that we need any Nintendo movies. I would not be opposed to like a Metroid thing. I think that's probably the most optimal. But hey, at least Nintendo's not ignoring Donkey Kong. They're putting some shine on him, even if it's in an absurd fashion.
Or in a roller coaster at a theme park.
Yeah,
Oh
listen, I'm cool with that too. Just let's get more Donkey Kong love in there.
So yeah, but again, this is just a rumor. But okay, we need to talk about the real issue here. The use of Chris Pratt. All right, because not only is he Mario, he's apparently going to be Garfield in a new animated thing. And it's just like, why? What did Chris Pratt do to deserve all of this? He did nothing. Okay, oh, but he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Don't care. But he was in Jurassic World. Really don't care. He was in Lego Movie. That one wasn't bad. But okay, for the record, I love Guardians of the Galaxy 1. All right, that's awesome. But like, why? Why aren't they casting Chris Pratt in everything? And I talked about this when the casting announcements came out. I felt that this was just a, hey, who's popular right now? Kind of casting, like with Anya Taylor-Joy and Chris Pratt and everything. And now we have Chris Pratt as Garfield and Chris Pratt as Mario. And I heard even a rumor, and this was not confirmed, but there's already rumors about Chris Pratt playing Scarlett Johansson in a movie. I'm like, and she, then Scarlett Johansson is going to be a tree. I don't get it. I don't know why. What is happening? That's a very deep joke for all of you out there. But like, stop it. Like, we don't need Chris Pratt everywhere, okay? We do not. Just stop it. Get some help.
I think Garfield isn't bad for Chris Pratt. That one makes some sense. Mario
Yeah,
does
he
not.
could probably pull that off very well. I mean, lazy guy, you
Yeah.
know. I could see. I could honestly see him as Garfield, but it was just like the internet went nuts when that
Well,
happened.
it is
Just funny.
so many memes like, oh, Chris Pratt is gonna be voicing my character. Oh, Chris Pratt's gonna be voicing a little mouse. Or Chris Pratt's gonna be voicing Brian Reynolds. I don't
Yeah.
know. It's just like almost to the point. It's just like, holy crap.
Yeah. The internet can be a wonderful place at times, but yeah, it's just like we got to stop this the expansion of Chris Pratt in the universe. All right, he's already a star. He deserves it. Not he des he deserves to be a star, and I respect that. But like, stop, stop it. So, and I swear, if his Mario voice is not good, oh, we shall riot. We shall riot to the stars. I feel better. I feel better. All right, next up, we have a story that I am personally proud of and also kind of miffed at because I was not included in this. In Japan, they decided to go and do a survey of the Ace Attorney fans out there, and they asked them to vote on their favorite characters, the favorite main lawyer, the favorite sidekicks, their favorite clients and everything. And the results are actually kind of interesting, dear Ace Attorney fans. For example, not surprisingly, the favorite Ace Attorney character is, of course, Miles Edgeworth. That's just, I always found that funny. Like, I don't know why everyone likes Miles more than Phoenix. Phoenix is number two, obviously. But like, yeah, I guess he's just that level of cool, I suppose. Like that sophistication. You know, that's a nice thing. My favorite guy, Godot, was number six, but I appreciate that he was at least in the top 10. So I can dig that. Favorite lawyer, Phoenix, obviously. Favorite sub lawyer, I don't like how that sounds. Sub lawyer. Like, say partner. Like, favorite partner on the stand was Kazuya Asogi from Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is kind of odd because he worked with
No,
you for one
okay.
case. And then he was technically your enemy. Spoilers. Favorite partner, Maya Fey, obviously. I am offended that Herlock Sholmes got number two. All right.
Wow.
Cannot stand that guy. I just can't. Favorite prosecutor, Miles, obviously. Not
Course, course,
surprising.
course, course, course.
Favorite client, Larry Butts. Like, come on.
It's Larry. Come on. You really can't hate him too much, can you?
Yes, I can, because when something smells, it's usually the butts. All right. So, also Max Galactica, number five. Get a grip, people. Favorite witness, Wendy Oldbag. Number two, Polly the Parrot. Now that one I could support. I was like, "Do you want to interview the parrot, Mr. Wright?" Well, yes, I do. Blue Badger, favorite mascot. Holla, love that. Here's my favorite one. Case that left the biggest impression. Number one was Trials and Tribulations, episode 5, which I totally agree with. That's the Dahlia episode. That's
Ah, okay.
the Maya the Faye family murder spree, if you want to be honest here. Like that was one of my all-time favorites, I won't lie. I'm actually surprised that Rise from the Ashes wasn't even in the top 10. Like, I'm looking at it, it's not there. That's really interesting. But oh well. Also, a lot of love for a Greatest Attorney. They had two different cases on here. That was actually pretty interesting. So now my only question is, where is Ace Attorney 7? Where is it? I will not stop asking for that. I will not apologize for that. Capcom should be ashamed because they did the Chronicles thing. That's fine. I want Ace Attorney 7. We have a storyline we need to wrap up. Do it. Do it. All right. And finally, we're actually going pretty fast today. We have the situation with IGN. Oh, IGN.
I mean, okay, like just for this quick disclaimer, we're not trying to like egg on any flames or like try to like put more oil to the fire, which is the current review of IGN and Shin Megami Tensei 5, but this is just our own personal criticisms and nothing more. Just quick disclaimer before the internet hangs us all. So yeah.
What was that? I was getting oil and gasoline to burn the fire.
The internet would never hang us for roasting IGN. That's one of the
No!
internet's favorite things to do. They love roasting IGN.
Oh yeah. So here's the deal. Well, this is our main event, but we're going to give a little bit of a prologue here. So IGN, among many, have reviewed Shin Megami Tensei, which is coming out.
Next week.
Yeah, the 10th or 11th?
12.
12th. Thank you. So close. And at present, the Metacritic score is very, very positive. It is 87, which is very high, and that's all good. The problem is that for various reviews, including IGN, which is arguably the most notable because of a video review they published, they noted that it wasn't enough like Persona 5. Which is a problem, because Persona is the spin-off of Shin Megami Tensei.
Yes.
Now,
Yes.
yes. Now, is Persona more popular? Yes.
Arguably.
I mean, come on, especially after Persona 5.
No, Persona's far more popular.
Far
I
more
mean,
popular.
yeah, because again, like Shin Megami Tensei, I'll give it that much. Shin Megami Tensei is fairly niche before, again, with the spin-off, obviously with like Persona, that's when it like really gained popular, especially with Persona 4. So I'll give it that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, say, like a Paper Mario, where the first game was beloved with 7 stars, but then Paper Mario just took off in its entirely different direction, or more how you want to say it, more cartoonish direction or something like that, a
Sure.
slightly different style. There we go, a slightly different style, and all of a sudden, it's the more popular thing, even though people still love 7 stars. With Shin Megami and Persona have two very different kinds of storylines, two very different kinds of how they handle things. One's about, the personas, one's about, like, in five, collecting monsters for Shin Megami and everything. Isn't Persona, or sorry, Shin Megami 5 about you like fusing with another character and
Yes,
whatever?
like just, again, just for a quick history recap, like the Shin Megami Tensei games are mostly related to regarding to the wars between demons and angels. Yeah, demons and angels, God versus Lucifer, literally. If you play
Order,
ship,
chaos, and
yeah.
humanity.
Order, chaos, and law, and humanity, and regarding to the recent release of Shin Megami Tensei 3 HD, again, that's pretty much a refocus on that. And this was a lot of people basically compared Shin Megami Tensei 5 with 3. With the current sense, of course, with alongside with the formula of Tokyo Mirage Sessions. So And yeah, Persona is just, again, it's basically on a high school setting. Like the first game, based on a high school setting of everywhere else, different settings, and just like had their own personal stories. It's not as like darker per se. I mean, some of them are dark, like Persona 3, but they have their own separate story. It's not, it doesn't revolve all the whole chaos, law and order of the demons and angels and all that. So it's completely different. Again,
Yeah.
spin off, as you said.
And they're not connected. Like Persona 5, 4, and 3 and such aren't connected in the grand sense. Like you're not gonna
Like there were some cameos, but not yet, not in the grand
Yeah.
sense. There's cameos.
But this has raised a very interesting problem because IGN, which you know should know better, among others, of course, keep saying like, hey, Shin Megami should be more like Persona, even though Persona is a spin-off of Shin Megami. And other people have noted in recent times about how we compare things to certain titles, even though they're not supposed to be directly compared to them because they're different franchises with different feelings and thoughts and such. And so we're going to break down this trend in another meeting of the NEP Secret Society. Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order, and let's just stick with this one for now before we branch out because it is obviously the big prevalent one. And Tyler talked about this earlier. Yes, they are, sibling franchises. One is a spin-off of the other, and that's fine. But have we kind of become a little, what do you want to call it, desensitized to where everything has to be like that title, like, oh, it's a difficult game, it's got to be like Dark Souls, or hey, it's an open world game, let's mimic Far Cry, or even like a parody of itself. Hey, Far Cry 4 was good, but let's try and do that again with Far Cry 6 instead of doing something new like they did with Far Cry 5. And where does the line stop? Because we've seen this way too many times to where, we compare it to that thing. Oh, it's clearly like that, but it's not like that, so it's bad or it's not good enough. How is that fair? That doesn't help anything, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we have a hard time sometimes. RPGs have been around for forever, and they're all similar. So it's from a writing standpoint, it's kind of tempting to take that lazy route and compare things to one another instead of interrogating each element of a game on its own. I think I was just reading through the IGN review, and that it does seem like they have a hard time taking SMT5 on its own purely because it comes from the company that created
Yeah,
Persona.
Atlas, came, again, like the from the series, from their beginning line of the review, again, like calling Shin Megami Tensei the younger, edgier brother of Persona, again, factually incorrect. And just like we've seen, of course, like I take it all of our listeners and ourselves have seen other di many other different reviews from Game Explain to Feel Good Gaming to every also Nintendo World, other media sites have reviewed this game currently, and basically they somehow have some sort of like experience with the series whatsoever, be it Persona or the main Shin Megami Tensei games. And again, with IGN, like if they only I told about this before we started the podcast, is that like if IGN, if that reviewer said like I have like I maybe I have like some minor experience with going to Shin Megami Tensei, and my only main exposure is Persona, but I'm very looking forward to trying out Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the first time, that probably would avoid some most of the backlash. But again, the fact that this thing, a lot of the consensus basically saying that this review only played Persona 5 and nothing else, and just try to use that as a standard to judge Shin Megami Tensei. I mean, if you're a newbie, okay, because I obviously you didn't know better. But to other people who are as like hardcore, like longtime Shin Megami Tensei fans, like who know the series and the fact that again, Shin Megami Tensei is the main franchise, not the spin-off. It's not Persona, it's not the spin-off series. So that thing can really come off as like, yeah, this guy doesn't know anything what he's talking about. That's just like, again, that's what the major outcry is. Like, really? This guy doesn't know that basic fact that again, that Persona is the spin-off and not and Shin Megami Tensei is the main series? It's just like, yeah, it's really hard to take the reviewer seriously.
there are always going to be comparisons in games, and that's just fine. And there's always going to be that law of parity to where, you know, hey, this did well, we should try and do the same. The problem is when you either don't see just how much of something it is alike or something isn't alike, but you still make the comparisons. And I'll give you a good example I just remembered. When the Batman Arkham series came,
okay.
It was unlike any superhero game we had ever played before. You know, because we usually only had like the side-scrolling adventures, the really bad 3D games, and the fighting titles, obviously. But then Batman Arkham came out, or Arkham Asylum came out, and then Arkham City like blew all of our minds, and we're like, nothing can top this. And then Marvel was like, we should try and top this. And so they tapped Insomniac to make Spider-Man. Was Spider-Man influenced by Batman Arkham? Yeah, clearly. But did it do things that were entirely Spider-Man to the extent that you honestly couldn't compare them at times? Yeah, you honestly could. Now, is it still fair to compare them to an extent? Yeah, but you can't say, oh, this needs to play more like Arkham when it's two different characters, one who has powers and one who does not. And they're clearly going for a different, you know, visual style. And, you know, the free roaming is different with Spider-Man because he's actually got the web slingers versus just the grapples. And that's a different kind of comparison. And thankfully, they were very light on those because it was such a great game. And so that comparison wasn't made that often. It's like, oh, it should have been more like Arkham. No, they didn't say that because Spider-Man was its own thing. But then you have something like Avengers where they're like, okay, we need to top this even more. And they fail so bad. and that is a fair comparison. Like, oh, it should have been more like a Spider-Man or an Arkham instead of what we got. And that would be fair because, you know, they clearly were just trying way too hard and they didn't know what they wanted. They tried to be like so unique that it didn't even work. And of course, I got 1,000 bug patch. Like, how does that happen? But here, it's a different style of franchise. Yes, it's a JRPG, but it's entirely different. And you're saying it's Persona. It should be more like Persona 5. Why? Because you liked it more? Because you think it was better? Say Persona 5 is better, but don't say that it should be more like it when it's clearly different. And this is the father franchise.
Yeah. It's almost like saying like, oh, like the Shin Megami to our Persona 5 placed at like Final Fantasy. Like that is like something like sort. And I guess this, in a way, like because the immediate argument like would be said, like, for example, since like Metroid made the entire genre, or Castlevania, we always call it the Metroidvania, and then we have the other games come after, like Shovel Knight, Shantae, like all these other games that are dubbed under the Metroidvania, and like we always like call it Metroidvania until like the next Metroid, like Metroid Dread, like that thing is pure Metroid.
I accidentally said Metroidvania, and I'm like, no, it's not Metroidvania, it's just Metroid.
Yes. Again, the one who created the formula, aside from Castlevania.
There you go.
So, like, that when people, like, because, like, yeah, with, like, Shantae, Shovel Knight, like, they're already influenced from Metroid and Castlevania? Sure, clearly. Many reviews are up and say that, so, as you said, like, and again, it's just pay homage to that. So I think that in that case, it's a much more respectful way to say, like, yeah, it reminds me of this game, but it does the thing its own way and does it respectfully. While, like, yeah, back to the IGN case, it's just like you want this thing to be more like Persona. Like, again, yes, I'll give it that. Persona 5 is great and all, but it also has its flaws. And again, as I said, it's a spinoff. Separate thing, separate team, not the same as Shin Megami Tensei. Sure, it shares the same banner of Shin Megami Tensei to some extent, but that is not in their title. You don't see like a Shin Megami Tensei persona. That's just not how it works. Like Digital Devil Saga, yes, it's under the Shin Megami Tensei banner, but Persona is not. It's just simply not. So just again, like why the comparison? Why you want this like to play like this game instead of the game is presented right in front of you is just like, yeah, it just boggles me. It completely boggles me.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, as we said earlier, it's clear why they make the connection. It's because the series comes from Atlus and one spun off from the other. But the reason why it falls so short here in this specific review really is twofold. One, outside of that opening paragraph, the writer doesn't really explain it. She doesn't do a good enough job of proving the point of why SMT5 is lacking heart, right? The point that she's trying to make is that this game doesn't have heart. And she says that because the story is somewhat, she says that the story falls short. I know it's hard to write without spoiling major details.
Right, you can't write a plot synopsis.
But you need to do a better job than just putting, you know, two paragraphs in saying, I don't like the ending, and basically the side characters are kind of hollow. Like, that's not really enough. You need to give more proof. I guess they might not have wanted the review to go on forever, but it didn't do a good job of demonstrating exactly why that is. And then the second big reason it falls short, in my opinion, is because Shin Megami Tensei 5 is a Nintendo Switch exclusive, and Persona 5 is not. Persona 5 is not on the Switch. So you're, like, I get that there's going to be some crossover. There's going to be people who own both a Switch and a PlayStation. But for me, when you say that Persona has more heart, I don't really know what that means, because I don't. I've never played Persona. I didn't get it on PS4. Like, I do know about Shin Megami Tensei. I played all of those games on the 3DS.
Yes.
I don't know about Persona, and I think that that's where the bigger problem comes in. And for the record, the IGN review, I'm not one of those people who likes to crap on IGN. I personally read their reviews. I think they're extremely professional and almost always really, really well done. They're the best in the business for a reason. But in this case, I do see some of the criticism. I think the rest of the review is well written, and the writer gave it an 8. So it's not like she said, "Oh, this is a terrible game, don't play it."
Right.
It's not Persona F-, but I do get frustrated that this is just a larger trend that happens in gaming in general. We're so quick to point out what another franchise does that a similar one doesn't, instead of focusing on the unique identities of each.
Right. Like, for example, like back in, like again, like prior years, again, when people call like a very tough difficulty game, like, yeah, we call it like a very Souls-like Persona, or like Souls-like RPGs, or like, or I don't know, it's like Cuphead is the Dark Souls of platformers. It's like, yeah, that is just, it's really, how can you compare like that? Like, sure, in terms of like difficulty, fine, there is that similarity in a sense, but again, Dark Souls is Dark Souls, Cuphead is Cuphead. Like, these games are their own identity. So
it's just laziness. It really is just laziness. But from like a casual perspective, right? If you're sitting there with your buddies and you say that, okay, that works. Like, people will understand, oh, Cuphead is like a really difficult platforming game. That's all you're really trying to convey. But when you're writing a review, it's a completely different animal. Your job is to provide more than that armchair analysis. And we've had the same thing happen recently with Metroid Dread, for example,
being compared to
every other Metroidvania game that's come out recently.
But the ironically is, again, it's Metroid. It created the formula.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it's part of it is, I'm going to be honest, part of it is the gaming world's fault.
Because
we've perpetuated this thing of like everything has to be like everything else, when in the beginning of the gaming industry, the whole point was to not be like everybody else. And the best example for that is Mario and Sonic.
Sure.
Like, the creators of Sonic talked about it like this. It's like, we need Sonic to be as different from Mario as possible in terms of the look, attitude, gameplay, and so on. Mario is slow, Sonic is fast. Mario is an adult, Sonic is basically a teenager with attitude, you know? One's gotta go fast, one takes it slow, you know, one relies more on physical strength, the other's on speed, and so on and so forth. And then even like the level designs with the loop-de-loops and the speed turns and everything. They tried everything to make sure that Sonic was different from Mario, and it worked for a time. And then Sonic 2006 happened. But the point there is that they were trying. They were trying to make it different. And then even the ones that were similar, like, say, a Metroid and a Castlevania, one was, you know, space-age bounty hunter. One was a vampire hunter. And then the monsters and the weapons and the abilities and how you got around the levels and how you could destroy things to open up your paths, that was different enough to where you could say that's why Metroidvania is the term, not Metroid and Castlevania. It's Metroidvania because it's two sides of a very similar coin. And that's fine. That kind of comparison is fine because it gives you a picture in your head. But nowadays it's like, oh, it has to be like this game. It has to be like that game. Or, oh, it's an open world. It's basically entirely like Far Cry or like Grand Theft Auto 5 or, now Breath of the Wild because that one was so wildly popular, And everything becomes just a parody of one another to where you can't help but make those comparisons in the bad way because it's like, oh, they're clearly trying to copy this, but doing their own twist on it. That's okay to an extent. Like, look at games like Ori and the Blind Forest
Oh yeah.
or
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Hollow Knight. I've heard nothing but great things about Hollow Knight, and that's Metroidvania. But because they did it differently enough, that stands out on its own to where the comparisons can stop versus, but if you don't have that acknowledgement to say, like, yeah, this is so different that I don't need it to be like a Metroid or a Castlevania or a Far Cry or a Breath of the Wild or a Smash Brothers or what have you, then you're just showing your own ignorance. And it can hurt. It can hurt a lot. There's a difference between a fair comparison, or as our title of the episode it notes, an inaccurate comparison, because that, and that's the danger we want to, because you're not just insulting gamers, you're insulting the dev team who've made it. Like, and this is something Will brought to my attention. The Atlus crew actually made fun of certain people because Persona 5 was trending, even though it was about Shin Megami Tensei 5. And they're like, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. And then Shin Megami was trending. It goes, that's more like it. It's like, how do you think they feel when their own franchises are getting mixed up because one just happened to be a Game of the Year contender that really, stuck with people for one reason or another, and then their next game comes out, which is the original franchise that the first one was, or the other one was based off of, and it's like, yeah, this should be more like that game because, like, that's the real one. No, that's not what we did. Like, what?
And also just to add more to the note, like Atlus on Twitter did clarify it as well. Like, yeah, they were just they acknowledged they were just poking fun at that whole trending, and they're just honestly glad that be it veterans or newcomers are enjoying this game for what it is. So, like, yes, they know the whole kerfuffle from IGN's review, but
Kerfuffle?
again, yeah, kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle.
But like, again, I will acknowledge again it's from different point of views because again, not everybody's gonna be that veteran fan or not everyone's like gonna be that gonna have that newbie perspective for the series. So sure, again, perspective. It all really depends on perspective. So granted that much. Yes.
I want to also note that Twitter has been a light because of all this nonsense, and some of the tweets are just great. Like, show me a single SMT5 review that doesn't mention Persona 5. Good luck with that. Oh, here's a fun game. Read Shin Megami Tensei 5 reviews and take a shot every time they mention Persona 5. Oh, my personal favorite. To every review comparing SMT5 to Persona 5, don't make me tap the sign. Quote, yes, SMT and Persona are connected. It doesn't mean you have to constantly compare them. They can stand on their own merits.
Yes, that's Simpson meme. Don't make me tap the sign. It's just like, it's just really, yeah, just because of this one major outlet, like, okay, like, yeah, you like if anything else, IGN, you definitely done goofed to an extent. I'm just gonna say it that much,
You done
but
effed up.
yeah.
You done
So,
effed up.
but again, like what I guess in this in the end of it all, like whatever news is good news for Shin Megami Tensei, be it like great overflowing reviews or a very very inaccurate take from IGN. Again, I'm just glad this game is getting the attention it deserves, for better or for worse. Yes.
I just, and it was partly just because I was a, I'm technically a game developer of a kind, and I was for Saints Row 3. I don't want games to be only compared to something unless it's you know, like a rightful, like when we compare Mario games to one another, like the reason we talk about Sunshine so much in terms of it being a quote lower quality Mario titles, because when we compare it to Mario 64 or Galaxy, we can see that those games are just better in certain dimensions and how it all plays. Or like when you look at Breath of the Wild and you say like, oh yeah, don't get me wrong, the other Zelda games are great, but this one just feels more alive in certain ways. And you know, the expansive world and how you could tackle the dungeons all or at different times or go right to Ganon, you know, it was a different feeling. And so that kind of comparison is fine because you can say this does not compare to the other Zelda games because the other Zelda games were much more linear, which was the nature of the game. And that's fine. But when a dev makes a game, even if it's a direct sequel or a spin-off, they're putting everything to make a quality title. Do they want to invoke feelings of previous games or other games you've played? At times, absolutely. And as I've noted, there have been plenty of parody and clones, including Saints Row, which is easily a clone of GTA, but then it went from a direct GTA clone to, hey, let's make it our own thing. And by Saints Row 3, which everyone considers the best of the franchise, it found its own identity in the insanity of it all versus just the grim, gritty violence. And so it didn't become a parody. It was Saints Row now.
Yeah, but don't tell about the recent one.
Yeah.
That I'm not looking
Gosh.
forward to.
I know.
I do think every franchise is a little bit different as well. A Mario game, for example. I don't have, you know, you don't want every sentence to be comparing one to a previous one, but that series is very well established. People know what it feels like to play a Super Mario game. So if you're comparing, let's say, you know, the next Mario game to Mario Odyssey and it's more linear or, you know, the movement is a little bit different, I wouldn't have as big of an issue with comparing that. But Shin Megami Tensei is a niche franchise. It's not a franchise that instantly conjures up comparisons. Like Super Mario, that comparison works because people can create a link in their mind. They understand what it means. With a series like this, people don't really understand what it means. You have to really spell out, if you're going to criticize SMT5 for its plot and for its quote unquote heart, you need to define what that, like, what its energy is. And I don't feel like this review really does that well enough, nor do many of the others that go for that cheap comparison. You really need to, you know, there's no handbook to reviewing video games, and I mean, certainly comparisons can be useful, but I just think in this case especially, it's not.
Right. Like, grant, and of course, now obviously they can't like spoil the story in the review because again, that just like would spoil the story, obviously. So perhaps it's definitely due to the embargo or reviews, but again, like most likely once we finally get the same release it next week, then and once we people start to figure out the story of like what IGN's perspective is, like what do you mean by no heart, like then we'll probably get more details, like is IGN valid or is it again continue to not is just inaccurate as we've always been presenting.
I don't know, like this was a really interesting story because I have never played Persona outside of Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle, where they had Persona characters in it, and I've never played Shin Megami Tensei, but hearing about all that's going on, it just really makes you look at, you know, the gaming industry as a whole and like what it's slowly becoming, and that's kind of got me worried, and to where like something like this can happen. And if this was just, and we gotta be very clear on this, if this was just the IGN review of one person not realizing the connection between Shin Megami and Persona and what came first, that you could just chalk up to, you know, either ignorance, a lack of understanding of the history. Like I did not know at one time that these two were connected. That's just because again, I never played the franchises. But when you're a reviewer, you kind of have to know. Kind of like how Metroid Dread was, you know, a sequel to Metroid Fusion. Now, if you never played Metroid Fusion, that's fine. That is not a requirement. They give you enough of a recap to help you out there. But with this, when you're saying, you know, something that, you know, this should play more like Persona 5, you know, Persona 5 was a spin-off, that's the problem. And then multiple reviewers after that said that. So this is not an isolated issue. And that's kind of bad. And when you we've been hearing like for years, you know, like Dark Souls clone or Dark Souls style, you know, like that, you know, everyone's trying to emulate that instead of trying to making something that's truly their own. And that just perpetuates what's going on here, because then when something like a true Dark Souls spell, like a Bloodborne, you know, came out, like Bloodborne was different enough to where it could still be compared to Dark Souls because it was the same people who made it, but no one was saying like, oh, this should have played more like Dark Souls, because that kind of wasn't the point. It was Bloodborne. It wasn't Dark Souls. So I don't know.
And funny enough, you mentioned that because again, Elden Ring got reviewed today during
Die
time
Elden
as
Ring.
well, right?
There you go. So I don't know. All we can say is, as in all things, if you like a game, like it for what it is, not what it compares to. It's just like a movie. If you like a movie, then like it, but don't like it because, but don't go and say, oh, this should have been more like that movie, or you know, something that's not even related to it in a grand way, or even something that is related to it, like with the DCEU or the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, like I'm gonna watch Eternals this weekend, and all I've been hearing is like all the divisive reviews, and I'm like, oh, gee. I wonder how I'll like this. It's not possible that I could like it if all this divisive reviews. It's not like I've liked movies that are divisive, right, Tyler? Right, Tyler?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
think that's a good point to like listen to, really remind it again. Like we're so used to like the reviews, like even for our reviews like says like how to feel with this, or people would, like be angry at this, be angry at that, don't not like this, do not like that. Like yeah, in the end, as all reviews are just one opinion. If you don't like it, like fine, but definitely give the game or media a chance to play it out, try it out, and then make your own opinion on your own, like, and see if they're valid or not. So
Yeah.
honestly, it all depends on your own experience. Because again, people are smart. No, a person is smart. People are dumb. I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I mean, slight misquote, but I'll allow it for this one. Yeah, but the point we should be taking, this is the really sad part. The point we should be taking away from this, as Tyler mentioned to us when we all got together, is that the reviews are really good. Like, these reviews of Shin Megami Tensei V are really good. It's got an 87 on Metacritic, like tons of positive reviews, and that should be enough to at least get some of you out there, even those who have not played it like me before, or the franchise like me before, to say, you know what, maybe I will give Shin Megami Tensei V a try. Like, that should be our takeaway here. But it's not. It's not, because this comparison happened, and now everyone's talking about how we compare games. And while that's fine to have that discussion, as we have had here, we also need to say, hey, wait a minute. The whole point is that, you know, this game is getting well reviewed. It's just getting inaccurately compared. But don't let that weigh you down. Who cares if it's not like Persona 5? See if it's a game you like anyway. You know? Maybe, heaven forbid, actually like it more than Persona 5. I know, right?
And yeah, like not to go on tangent, because that probably would also be the same case for me if I like decide to try out a Metroid Dread, and the demo is currently out right now, which I have to try out. So who knows? In the same case, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like imagine, if you will, someone who did not play the original Pokemon Diamond and Pearl on the DS, and they got Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and they loved it. And then they got Arceus, which I know I'm gonna do. And they're like, oh, well, I liked Diamond and Pearl better. You know, Arceus should have been more like that. Well, that's not fair. That's an accurate comparison, because they're two totally different styles of gameplay. Different kind of storylines, different feel for the world. You know, that's different. If you like Diamond and Pearl better than Arceus when they both come out, that's fine. If you like Arceus better than Diamond and Pearl, that's fine. Try the games, see which one you enjoy, and make the comparisons lightly. Okay?
Okay.
Shouldn't be that hard.
That was pretty good,
Okay.
Will.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So with that, I'm gonna end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, poll question?
Yeah, so last week we did ask a poll question, but to save face, because we only had two responses, I think we should just ignore the results.
We shall ignore the
Okay,
results.
okay, okay.
Well, our poll question was really sucked. We only got two votes.
We asked about what we were gonna, what people were gonna do for Halloween. You know,
yeah, that sucks.
It's so lighthearted.
That sucks. So
I think we hold off on the polls this week. Yeah. If you missed the polls, let us know. But I think we should give more rest for now.
Fair enough. Yes. No.
The poll question will be: did you think that Shin Megami Tensei should be more like Persona 5? A, Y, B, Y, C, Y, D. Okay. No. No, that's fine. We don't need a poll question this week. But do let us know what you thought of everything that's going on, including the fiscal numbers for the Nintendo Switch, what you think about a potential Donkey Kong animated movie by Illumination. Are you hoping that there is indeed another Smash Brothers game coming out? We know you say yes, but just tell us yes anyway. And of course, what do you think of this whole situation with Shin Megami and Persona 5? And most importantly of all, should Persona 5 come to Switch? The answer is an emphatic yes. I will not stop. Tyler's like, oh, you're part of the problem. In this case, I do not care. I want Persona 5 on Switch. That shouldn't be so hard to ask for. It's a money thing. Yes, you're going to make money. You're going to spend money to bring it over, but then you're going to make money when it sells well, because you know it's going to sell well on the Switch. Come on, man!
And again, the fact that it's in Smash Bros. Ultimate should be no clear sign to please bring this game to Switch. Yeah.
But we gave you Persona 5 Strikers. Shut up. Shut your gosh dang mouth. So, ahem. So, let us know all that in the comments below. And so, for Atelius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Tyler. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise a flag.